So I don't know.
I'm sorry. Can I interject real quick? I meant to say, this is a sticky subject because I, with my job, I do a lot of social media stuff. And a new thing on Facebook is fans don't want to deal with things. So they'll just make me a level of an administrator on their page. Like, it's funny. You go on my Facebook, and it's funny. Like, I'm an administrator for Clutch. I'm an administrator
like a
for...
Not as many, but
it's...
1,000 notifications, though, because you're administrating all these things.
But it's some serious bands. I mean, I'm administrator for, jeez, I was Jane's Addiction for a while, like, and stuff. But it's levels on Facebook. Like, I'm an advertiser. Right. I can't go on their page and just post, like, what's up? It's Kevin Hawk from Baltimore. just taking advantage of Jane's Addiction's page right now, you know, because I don't really...
Jane's Addiction left their Facebook open.
But what's really funny is I do get notifications about things that I wouldn't think, because, you know, Facebook's always figuring that out. Like, oh, man, the advertiser doesn't need to know that.
Right.
But I got one yesterday from, have you heard of Good Old War? They're like a really cool indie folk acoustic band. And, you know, they're a serious band. They do like 400 tickets in every town. And anyways, I'm an administrator for them just from an old show from years ago. And I got a thing about, they did a video on Facebook, and it was a cover. And they were just doing it to be fun. It was just them sitting there with acoustic guitars. And Facebook, and it's funny because they're really serious about this on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Facebook took it down.
Yeah.
And they said, and it was like a warning.
Yeah.
And actually, there was one on Hail. I'm a Hailstorm administrator too, and they got one for something. I don't really look at this stuff because I don't really care. Like, it's not my problem. If I don't have a show with them at the time, I don't really care what's going on their page. But the Hailstorm got one taken down too, and I was shocked. But it's like this serious warning. It wouldn't let me leave the screen until I clicked, I understand. Yeah. I'm like, Facebook, I'm just an advertiser administrator. I don't care what videos they're posting. But so that's weird to me. Like, that's strange that they can't even post a cover video.
Well, the copyright argument is much deeper than even we're having now, but I think that this is the real bread and bones of it, if you will. Like, the Facebook is getting under fire because it's like the same way with YouTube. When YouTube first came out, I mean, everybody's ability, it's not that you don't have the right to, you know, to play somebody's song at home, but the second that you try to take somebody else's song and then put it on YouTube and use it essentially to advertise or promote yourself, like, the songwriters and the publishers have the right to be compensated for that song unless they've released it in a way to make it publicly available to everybody.
Right.
And so Facebook just kind of joined the video feed. It was safer when they were just letting you embed YouTube videos because then it's all YouTube's fault. And then Facebook...
Oh, yeah.
Facebook can just say, hey, we're just showing the YouTube video.
Yeah,
that's all we're doing.
Right.
But now Facebook has to worry about it because...
It's their own videos. It's their service. It's their own service, yeah.
And a part of the reason why they can get in really big trouble because... And I don't know all of the ins and outs, but my understanding is that there's a certain amount of your content that you're posting on Facebook that Facebook actually owns.
I've heard that, yeah. And also...
You're in violation and they're going to be accountable.
You're in violation of it, and so that's why they're warning you is because they don't
want the liability.
And
they
also,
don't want
it's a big deal on Facebook because you can't monetize something. Like I said, you're almost like, if you really want to get out there, you advertise your video. We're on YouTube, like, I think those artists, I'm not sure, but I mean, you know, covers are a big deal on YouTube.
Sure.
It's how bands get known. Like, oh, I'm going to do an awesome cover of some, and then they, you know, they link it. Is it tags? I think you tag, you tag the band, like you're going to come up if you watch whatever, like Eve 6, and somebody did a great cover of it, like they come up and you know how YouTube will have like 8 videos, like what to watch next? Some unknown can come up because they tagged Eve 6 as like a similar, it's a good way to get known, but at least on YouTube, I think the band can get paid for that, whereas Facebook, nobody gets paid. Like,
YouTube is how they get paid.
But YouTube has already, you know, cut their teeth on the concept of here's cover songs going out.
They get the free content.
Right. YouTube is providing free content. They get advertisers. And because they get advertisers, the people who own these copyrights know that there's money, even if it's not making it to Joe Schmo who recorded the cover of Hotel California. It's like that money has to make it back to the, you know, to the original songwriters and the original publishers. And then if you start to monetize that, like you... If you're monetizing a page on YouTube, you can't put covers on it unless you have the license, because Facebook knows that they have to pay you for monetizing your YouTube channel. You're making money off of somebody else's song, so they're not going to let you release, you know, cover songs without a license if you have a monetized channel.
Quick funny story about that. I mean, how serious they are about it. My old band did a music video. And at the beginning, I thought it'd be dramatic to put a quote like they kind of resemble what the music and what the song and the video was about. And we said it was from unknown, but I wrote it. And YouTube would not approve this video for monetization because they were convinced that we stole somebody's quote. And I wrote them, I was like, dude, I wrote the quote. We put unknown to make it sound like it's some meaningful.
So it's deeper than, yeah.
Like if it just said, like, theatrical. If it didn't have like a dash who somebody said it, or if it said Kevin Hawk said this, it wouldn't be cool and dramatic at the beginning.
Right,
like,
right.
So, but, and it's funny, it's the biggest YouTube video I've ever had. It got, you know, whatever. Not the end of the world, but it was like 15,000 views. If that was monetized, that would have been at least a decent check, maybe a couple hundred bucks or something. I don't know how that pays off, but they would never. I wrote them. Okay, so I'm crying over nothing. But I'm telling you, like I wrote like four emails. Like guys, can you please just tell me, is this about the quote? Because nothing else in this video. It's my song. It's me in the video.
Like, I had to prove to YouTube one time that it was my song that I had copywritten, that I had released on my channel. They were like, we took down your video because it's copyrighted. And I'm like,
it's
I know.
Crazy.
I did
that. That's mine.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we need to have, you know, your registration number with the copyright office.
Yeah.
And wanted my ISRC, my ISRC code for it and the whole nine yards. And, you know, thankfully I had those items and I sent it in, but it was about three or four emails deep of conversation back and forth with somebody from YouTube or Google. Yeah. From Google to prove that I had uploaded my own song.
I would just say if we're closing about the copyright stuff, that it's something you can tell these people are taking it very seriously.
Oh, yeah.
YouTube, you should take it seriously. And you know what? I'm not saying because I do. I have a comic book as well. I've sold a lot of copies. I never copyrighted it. And I've seen things that, like, you know, I give it to people, and I've seen things that look familiar to me. And not close enough that I would be able to sue anybody.
Right.
But you know what? I just go, well, I'm an idiot. I didn't copyright it, so, you know, I'm not going to get into this. But I need to. I wrote it down on my paper. I was like, you're dumb.
Yeah,
we're at a thing telling people to copyright their work. And
well, because you're starting a new series, right?
I'm working on that. Yeah.
So you can take everything that you've already released
from
the one series and then copyright all of that as a compilation. It would cost you $25.
Right.
And then you also have your publication dates, because you know when you had copies made.
That's what we're saying, too. If it came to a legal battle, there's many ways I could prove that series has been out for years. You know what I mean? But do I want to go through that? I'd rather just say, well, here's the information of when I copyrighted it. Boom.
That's why it's better
for
you to be the registrant, though, than have to come back after the fact. Like, if you know it's yours, and, you know, especially if it's over, or, like, you know, if you did something on an annual basis, you could kind of cover your butt. And it, for the cost and the minimal amount of effort that it would take to actually process it, it's important. And I also think from the copyright perspective, aside from actually copywriting your own stuff, the reason why copyright is important is because we all have our own unique ideas, we have our own unique spins on things, we think about things, we see the world differently from each other, not necessarily all different from other people, because I usually try to hang out with people that have kind of similar crazy ideas and schemes, but we develop things together. But it's your creation. It's your it is called intellectual property because it is yours to own. And if you choose to release it in some way that is either public domain or Creative Commons or open source, you would not have that right to release something for free unless you had the right to charge people money for it. This isn't the People's Republic of Maryland. You know, it's the United States, and we've always had intellectual property as part of our foundation. From, you know, like, would it be less important if you know, the Constitution was written by somebody else, or would it make as much of a difference if it was the Declaration of Independence was written by somebody else besides Thomas Jefferson? I mean, we attribute it as him writing it because he did, and he made that, you know, public, but he could have written that and it would have maybe made a great story that we could, you know, be paying to Thomas Jefferson's estate now, you know, like it. But he wrote that and then chose that was going to be, you know, the delivery system, if you will. And we wouldn't have the ability to choose if everything was just available to everybody else. And I don't want, I can't continue to create the same way that I did if I know that nothing of mine is protected, because the moment that I release it, it becomes somebody else's to do with what they want. People should ask for permission. And also what Joan was saying before about having access to the information of who writes stuff, or like email addresses and phone numbers are all over the internet. And I'll close with this if I'm permitted. I wrote music to lyrics that I found in a book. Tad Williams wrote a book called The Dragonbone Chair, which I read in the library. And I took the book home, and I was reading this song that he had, it's a book, so there's no real music, you know. So I'm reading the lyrics, and I go, well, this would be a really cool melody for these lyrics. And so I wrote Tad Williams. And this was, gosh, I don't know, 8 years ago. And I said, I came up with this song, and I was thinking about releasing it, you know, to my friends with me playing guitar and singing your lyrics. And I was like, I wanted to make sure that this was okay with you. And I got a letter back that said, as long as it's for you to give away for free, you can use the lyrics from, you know, that you read in the book, you can use those lyrics, you know, as often and as much as you want. If you intend on selling it, then we would have to talk about a licensing arrangement. And I didn't know what that was. And so I said, thank you, because I didn't intend on selling it at the time anyway. But I think the key is that, from my perspective, here I am a teenager, maybe, I don't know. This was definitely longer than 8 years ago then. Yeah, long time ago. Wishful thinking. But I was a teenager, and here I am writing somebody who's an author, who's published, that's wrote a series, and you know, multiple books released on a national level. I'm, you know, my jaw has hit the floor that I even got a response back. But the truth is that there's systems and resources in place to be able to ask for help, ask for permission, to be able to negotiate, you know, individually. And there's lots of websites now, like if you wanted to use a song, lyrics are copywritten as well. If you wanted to just use the lyrics from a song onto a website, you'd pay a different license for that. It's not complicated. If it was harder, I would get it.
Yeah.
If it was harder, I would understand. Like, oh, we don't know who to reach. We don't know who to talk to. We don't have any resources. But it's just not the case.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed that. That's interesting. Mm. Yeah. So why don't we take... It's 15 till 2, maybe 15-minute break, and come back, and if you have any questions, you know, we'll entertain those. I thought next round we'd focus on, I don't know, somebody mentioned having a diverse portfolio.
Diverse portfolio.
The idea of having all these different irons in the fire.
Absolutely.